Our last author is Steve Levi. Now, Steve is not only an author, he's a historian, he's a teacher, he's an educator, he's a professor, an entertaining one at that, as you'll find out. But one of the books he's put out is called Bonfire Saloon, a narrative poetry snapshot of the Alaska Gold Rush, Nome, December 3rd, 1903. And it's very clever, as Steve will tell you, it's a book of history disguised as literature. And will tell you that all the things we think are the Alaska Gold Rush are not, as you'll find out here with Steve Levi. Today is our Big Alaska Show Book Club. We're featuring our Big Alaska Show Book Review section, and we have our Big Alaska Show Book Club panel has gathered, and they're comprised of Lolo Page, Chris Lundgren, and Stan Jones. And these are authors. You can find some of their books on our Big Alaska Show Book Review section, and you'll find podcast interviews with each one of them as well. And we've gathered because our guest today is historian and author Steve Levi, and you'll find some of his books as well in our Big Alaska Show Book Review section. We have Archie Ferguson, Alaska's Crown Prince and Craziest Pilot in the World, and we have Cowboys of the Sky, the Story of Alaska's Bush Pilots, and we also have The Human Face of the Alaska Gold Rush. It was a riotous time with saints and scoundrels living side by side. And then Steve also is the master of the impossible crime, and he's part of the esteemed author masterminds. Will you give a warm Big Alaska Show welcome to Steve, the name you can trust, Levi? Steve, you maintain, when I introduce you as a historian and an author, I've sort of put them in synonymous. Are you a historian first and then an author and a historian, or you're both? And Stan's, his works have some bit of truth in them as well. So
I look at myself as an educator, but if you read my books, even if you read the fiction, you're going to pick up information, actual historical information you didn't know before. You know, I'm not an entertainer, I'm not a historian. I look at myself as an educator because I want to make sure that when you finish my book, you've learned something or something true that you didn't know before.
That's completely different than the Big Alaska Show, because and by the way, Steve Levi is a liar from the very start, because your podcasts are extremely entertaining. They're great stories. They're a lot of fun. And I think everybody by the end of this will agree with me. I talked to you about what we might talk about, and you want to talk about the gold rush. Why are you so interested in the Alaska Gold Rush?
Nobody's done anything on it. If you pull up the Alaska Gold Rush on the internet, pull it up on Wikipedia, you get the Klondike. And the Klondike takes place around Dawson, which is in the Yukon Territory of Canada. It's a strike that lasts about 14 months and disappears. And it's made famous by Jack London and Robert Service. We have a Robert Service High here in Anchorage, and Robert Service had nothing to do with the Alaska Gold Rush.
You know,
and if you know that the UAA of the Sea Wolves, that's from Jack London's Sea Wolf book, and he had nothing to do with the Alaska Gold Rush. You know, so I mean, and in Anchorage we have the Valley of the Moon Park, which is a Jack London book, and Jack London had nothing to do with the Alaska Gold Rush. When I first got up here and I looked around, because I came up here in the 76, back before half of you were not born, and I started doing research on the Alaska Gold Rush, there wasn't anything. If you wanted to know about the Alaska Gold Rush, you had to read the newspapers, which were available in the libraries, and that was just about it. Then Ted Stevens got the archives to go down here in Anchorage, and in my bouts of unemployment, I went down to the archives and I went through all of the documents. So when I wrote my book on the Alaska Gold Rush, which is very spendy, it's boom and bust in the Alaska Gold Rush, but get it from the library, because if you want to buy it, I think it's $60. But it's the only book on the Alaska Gold Rush that does not include Dawson. The other book on the Alaska Gold Rush has about half of a book is on Dawson. Alaska Gold Rush is last, depending on when you say it ends, but the boom times are from 1880 to the First World War. That's 40 years.
Steve, do I recall that Wyatt Earp was in Nome?
Yeah, no, Wyatt Earp ran the, if you'll send me your email, I'll send you a picture of his bar and brothel.
Oh, right.
Wyatt Earp did the same thing everybody else did. They plunge into Nome about June 1st. They build everything. They make as much money as they can. And then they get out of Nome by September 15th because the Bering Sea will freeze over.
I had heard that Wyatt Earp, in any of the fights, he never was injured in all that time.
No, he never got injured. And what most people don't know is that after he left Alaska, he went back to Hollywood. And what he was doing is they were just doing Westerns at that time. And he was teaching all of the young actors, including John Wayne, you know, how they wore their guns, how they pulled their guns, the kind of expression. So if you want to know what Wyatt Earp actually sounded like, listen to John Wayne, because Wyatt Earp taught John Wayne how to talk like a cowboy.
Yeah. And John Wayne was in Nome, right? Because I saw the movie.
The movie, The North to Alaska, has been made 7 times. And that was written by Rex Beach, who was actually in Nome.
Yeah.
And he came back to Hollywood and he did all of the movies that Will Rogers was in. He was the one that wrote those. And when Will Rogers came to Alaska, he met with Rex Beach in Nome, in Juneau. And then he flew on from there. But that, originally called The Spoilers, it's been made 7 times.
Chris wrote for a newspaper, I believe. Isn't that correct, Chris? Didn't you?
Yeah, I've written for newspapers in Michigan, back in Michigan.
Chris's book, The Accidental Tourist, which is just a hoot. Those were stories that you did. I mean, you were writing for newspapers and you were like a journalist. You were like a reporter.
I think that was part of the inspiration for it and for wanting to do short stories and short pieces, definitely. But, you know, looking at some of Steve's works, I was looking at the title of his most recent one, I believe, Bonfire Saloon. And I'm really intrigued by the subtitle there, a narrative poetry snapshot of the Alaska Gold Rush, Nome, December 3rd, 1903. I am so intrigued by a narrative poetry snapshot. I'm so eager to read this book. I'm sure it's beautifully written, and I've never heard a book described that way.
When I write, whatever it is that I write, I try to make every one of my books completely different than any other book that I have written and any other book that I've ever read. It's not that hard, is because I would say 99.999% of the books out there are pretty much in what's called genre. Mm-hmm. The great danger for someone like me is I will either make a heck of a lot of money on something that's different or I won't make a dime, you know, and nobody had done anything on the Alaska Gold Rush. And not only that, we're talking, I want to get down on the street level, because that is where the real stories are. That is where the real drama is. You know, because you read a lot of history, you know, I read a lot of history books and they're all, you know, well, fine if you want to get a blessing, but you don't get the grease and the grime of what's actually happening on the street. Mm-hmm. And so what I did is I went ahead and they just took one night in a saloon in Nome. That means they're frozen in. These guys are frozen in. So they got to do something. And so here are all of these different people who are going to hang around in a saloon on that night. And they're just going to have a, you know, those names are accurate. Mm-hmm. And all of the events that I write about, those are, I picked them up. They didn't necessarily happen in Nome, but I picked them up all over the place. You know, they had a guy who came up here and he wanted to save his money in the gold rush to make an airplane. And there's a picture of it and it flapped its wings. And I'm going, you're telling me that you're coming to Alaska.
Well, that idea really took off, didn't it?
Build an airplane that flaps its wings. Give me a break. And the flapping mechanism at the is still today at the University of Alaska. And the reason that I like this so much is the guy lost all his teeth from scurvy, and he had a bear that was hanging around his homestead up there, an eagle, and he shot the bear. But he didn't have a horse to pull the bear away, and he couldn't leave the bear because the wolves would come and get it. Nobody buys bear meat, and he couldn't eat the bear because he didn't have any teeth. So what he did was he made dentures out of the bear's teeth, and then he ate the bear with its own teeth.
Yes. And
I'm going, hey, I had never heard of anything like that.
Actually, we had Andy Hall tell that as a Tall Alaska Tale. It's one of our favorite ones. And I believe it's gone down in the Guinness Book of Records as the only person who's ever eaten a bear with its own teeth.
One would think.
And you don't have to believe me, but the teeth that he made are at Fairbanks. They're in the museum in Fairbanks.
To Steve Levi's interview, just go to BigAlaskaShow.com and visit the Big Alaska Show book review section, where you'll find several of Steve's books, links, and podcasts, where you'll also find his book, Bonfire Saloon. When Steve's around, it's always an adventure. And speaking of adventures, we'd be remiss in mentioning Chris Lundgren is on our Big Alaska Show book review panel, and her book, Accidental Tourist, Alaska, True Tales of Ordinary People Facing Danger in the Wilderness. You can find that at bigalaskashow.com as well as her podcast.